Welcome to The Patriot, 1776. Hi, this is John Mady, and I am the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are, and I am, and so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would still be paying taxes to England and drinking a spot of tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Help us win back America now, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. You should take notes and use your Bible. We will give you our mailing address later. Today, we're going to finish up with Margaret Sanger, and then we're going to go to Roger Baldwin. And so let's get started. And first of all, we're going to talk about still taking our material from blackgenocide.org. And today we're going to talk about a book called Killer Angel. Now, in his book Killer Angel, George Grant writes, "Myths, according to theologian J.I. Packer, are stories made up to sanctify social patterns. They are lies carefully designed to reinforce a particular philosophy or morality within a culture. They are instruments of manipulation and control." Killer Angel tells the real story behind one of the biggest myths that controls our culture today, the life and legacy of Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. Grant exposes the big lie perpetuated by Sanger's followers and the organization that she started. Through detailed research and concise writing, Grant unveils Sanger's true character and ideology, which included blatant racism, revolutionary socialism, sexual perversion, and insatiable avarice. Grant includes direct quotes from sources such as Sanger's Birth Control Review to support his findings. His biography spans Sanger's disturbed and fixation with drugs, alcohol, and the occult. Particularly shocking was Sanger's involvement in the eugenics movement. Grant says Sanger was thoroughly convinced that the inferior races were, in fact, human weeds and a menace to civilization. She was a true believer, not simply someone who assimilated the jargon of the times, as Planned Parenthood officials would have us believe. Sanger died September the 6th, 1966, a week before her 87th birthday. Grant says she had nearly fulfilled her early boast that she would spend every last penny of Slee's, her second husband, of Slee's fortune. In the process, though, she had lost everything else: love, happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, family, and friends. In the end, her struggle was her not. The truth uncovered in Grant's book has proven to be a threat to those who follow the cult of Planned Parenthood. In fact, Killer Angel was recently banned from a public school in Toledo, Ohio. A library manager stated in a letter that the author's political and social agenda, which is strongly espoused throughout the book, is not appropriate even in a critical biography of its subject. In response, Grant pointed out that the question at hand is whether librarians should be making subjective judgments about my political beliefs and the beliefs of other authors. By censoring Killer Angel, the library appears to be violating its own policies, which state that the library collection should include representative materials of all races and nationalities, and all political, religious, economic, and social views, except Christian views, apparently. While the Toledo Public Library may not be interested in the information put forth in Grant's book, pro-lifers will find this biography useful and enlightening. It serves as a powerful tool in dispelling the myths surrounding a woman considered a heroine by many who began an organization that is responsible for the deaths of millions of unborn children. Grant states that Margaret Sanger and her heirs at Planned Parenthood have thus far been able to parlay the deception into a substantial empire. But now the truth must be told. The illusion must be exposed. Killer Angel does an outstanding job in doing that. Unquote. And I'd like to suggest to you, you should get this book. I have not read it yet. I'm going to get it. This is brand new for me, too. But it's very highly recommended. If you'd like to know more about the thinking of Margaret Sanger, the woman who started Planned Parenthood, you'll get a lot out of it. And I'm sure that that book has a lot of references, too. Sanger's legacy for reproductive freedom and racism. So let's go back to the reading. Despite Margaret Sanger's contributions to birth control and hence women's freedom and empowerment, her legacy is diminished by her sympathies with eugenics. This writer says that, like many modern feminists, Sanger ignored class and race. Margaret Sanger opened the nation's first birth control clinic in 1916. For the rest of her life, she worked to establish a woman's right to control her body and to decide when or whether to have a child. In 1921, she founded the American Birth Control League, the forerunner of Planned Parenthood. Her impact on contemporary society is tremendous, enabling women to control their fertility and giving them access to contraception, as advocated by Sanger, makes it possible for women to have a broader set of life options, especially in the areas of education and employment, than if their lives are dominated by unrelieved childbearing. A recent reminder of Sanger's impact on our society came when the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission found that it is illegal sex discrimination to exclude prescription contraceptives from an otherwise comprehensive health benefits plan. Sanger's efforts to provide access to contraception are at the fountain of decisions to provide equal access to prescription contraceptives and other prescriptions. Still, especially with the Bush administration, activists will have to fight to maintain access to contraception and to abortion. In April, the House of Representatives passed legislation that would establish criminal penalties for harming a fetus during the commission of a crime. While proponents of the bill say it does not include abortion, some see fetal protection legislation as an attempt to undermine abortion rights. The passage of this legislation is a reminder that the rights of Margaret Sanger worked so hard to establish are tenuous rights that many would challenge. For all her positive influence, I see Sanger as a tarnished heroine whose embrace of the eugenics movement showed racial insensitivity at best. From her associates, as well as from some of the articles that were published in Sanger's magazine, the birth control review, it is possible to conclude that racial insensitivity is too mild a description. Indeed, some of her statements, taken in or out of context, are simply racist. And she never rebuked eugenicists who believed in improving the heredity qualities of a race or breed by controlling mating in order to eliminate undesirable characteristics and promote desirable traits. Sanger, we must limit, this is something she said, we must limit the over-fertility of mentally, physically defective. Our failure to segregate morons who are increasingly and multiplying demonstrate our foolhardy and extravagant sentimentalism, she wrote in the recent republished The Pivot of Civilization. This book, written in 1922, was published at a time when scientific racism had been used to assert black inferiority. Who determines who is a moron? How would these morons be segregated? The ramifications of such statements are bone-chilling. And so ends the information concerning Margaret Sanger. I would suggest that you research Margaret Sanger. I would suggest that you get the book Killer Angel. And I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of references in that book. I'm sure that we won't have any problems in researching it and going back to Galton, who is Darwin's cousin, who started eugenics. And the whole idea, again, of eugenics is to get rid of people who are what Margaret Sanger called weeds. And not just Margaret Sanger, but also those people that are social Darwinists. They feel the same way, and that's what eugenics is all about. It's getting rid of the people who are not white, getting rid of the people who cannot take care of their children, that have so many children that, like the old woman in the shoe, she had so many children and she didn't know what to do. Well, that's what they're talking about. People who can't take care of their own children should not be allowed to live. Should not be allowed to continue having more and more children and not being able to take care of them. All right, well, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about the ACLU. And so we're going to take this information, we're going to have a few pages of it, take this information from www.wnd.com. And the name of this is the ACLU's Shocking Legacy. And it's posted by Alan Sears. And it was written on August the 25th. It was posted on August the 25th of 2005. And so there's an editor's note. It says, be sure to get your copy of Alan Sears' powerful new book, The ACLU versus America, Exposing the Agenda to Redefine Moral Values. A little bit that you have to know about the beginning of the ACLU. The two people who started it, Roger Baldwin and Crystal Eastman, they founded it in 1920, and they did it along with other people who were attorneys and also who were communists. And their whole idea is to destroy America. And that's what the ACLU is doing today. They're trying to do everything they can to take away the morals of America. And of course, like Margaret Sanger and some of the others that we've already named, Roger Baldwin and company, They do not like the idea of having rules and regulations. They like the idea of the kind of thing that what is called a living, breathing document. In other words, they don't want to have anything that is permanent. They want to have things that kind of, laws that kind of move like jello, morals that kind of move like jello, morals that, well, you just make up your own. There's no permanent place to go find morals. And this is the whole idea behind social Darwinism and Darwinism and evolution. If you look it up and you study it, you find out their main thing about evolution is that there is no God. And so they try to explain God without, or I should say, they try to explain the world without God. And so if there is no God to be responsible to, then who do you follow? You follow yourself. You make up your own rules. You make up your own followings, the things that you want to do. You just make it up for yourself. And what you find out is that it ends up the way that it did in the book of Judges, just before the Lord came down and punished Israel. The last verse in the book of Judges, it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They completely ignored God. And that's what the whole idea of evolution is that there is no God, therefore we make up our own rules. We don't have to do anything. Nothing's right, nothing's wrong. Just depends on, you know, if two consenting adults is their thing. So what the Ten Commandments says doesn't fit them because there is no God. So they do what they want to. Now, let's begin reading here. And I want to give you the name of that book again. I sure hope you're taking notes. First of all, it's a book written by Alan Sears, A-L-A-N-S-E-A-R-S. And his book is called The ACLU versus America, Exposing the Agenda to Redefine Moral Values. All right, here we go. Quote, one of the great myths of the 20th and now 21st century is the belief that the American Civil Liberties Union was an organization that had a noble beginning but somehow strayed off course. That myth is untrue. The ACLU set a course to destroy America, her freedom, and her values right from the start. From its very beginning, the ACLU had strong socialist and communist ties. As early as 1931, the U.S. Congress was alarmed by the ACLU's devotion to communism. A report by the Special House Committee to Investigate Communist Activities stated, quote, the American Civil Liberties Union is closely affiliated with the communist movement in the United States, and fully 90% of its efforts are on behalf of communists who have come in conflict with the law. It claims to stand for free speech, free press, and free assembly. But it is quite apparent that the main function of the ACLU is an attempt to protect the communists. Roger Baldwin and Crystal Eastman founded the ACLU in 1920, along with three other organizations dedicated to the most leftist of causes. The histories of these two individuals belie their claims of patriotism and respect for the Constitution. Baldwin openly sought the utter destruction of American society. 15 years after the founding of the ACLU, Baldwin wrote, "I am for socialism, disarmament, and ultimately for the abolishing of the state itself. I seek the social ownership of property, the abolition of the propertied class, and sole control of those who produce wealth. Communism is the goal." Earl Prouder, the General Secretary of the Communist Party of the United States, admitted that the ACLU served as a transmission belt for the party. Baldwin agreed, claiming, "I don't regret being a part of the communist tactic, which increased the effectiveness of a good cause." Baldwin was a devoted follower of the anarchist Emma Goldman, or Red Emma as she was called, who was eventually deported to the Soviet Union in 1919 for her communist activities. Goldman was a consistent promoter of anarchism, radical education, free love, and birth control. According to an outline exhibit of Goldman's papers, her career served as inspiration for Roger Baldwin, a future founder of the American Civil Liberties Union. Eastman was a zealous feminist with an anti-war activist and a great admirer of the Soviet Revolution. Of her many leftist friends and associates, Eastman held the highest regard for Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. According to Eastman, "We feminists must all be followers of Margaret Sanger." Of course, Sanger was a passionate advocate of eugenics, the attempt to improve the human race through selective breeding. Abortion was a primary means to this improvement, leading Sanger to write, "The most merciful thing that a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Yes, that's what it says. Let me read that again. I've read this in many places. Margaret Sanger says that abortion was a primary means to this improvement, leading Sanger to write, "The most merciful thing that a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Baldwin also was a great admirer of the Planned Parenthood founder. He heaped praise on Sanger. "She was a frail, beautiful, unassuming woman. She always had a quiet insistence on the rightness of what she was doing." This admiration of Sanger set the tone for the tragic history of the ACLU concerning the issue of abortion. To this day, the group fights for the most extreme of pro-abortion positions, including support for partial birth abortion and opposition to parental consent for minors. But the radical agenda hardly ends there. In his wedding vows, Baldwin called marriage as between one man and one woman a grim mockery of essential freedom. He added, "The highest relationship between a man and a woman is that which welcomes and understands each other's loves." The result is that today, the ACLU is a leading advocate of same-sex marriage and has expressed support for polygamy and polyamory, that is, open marriage as well. The ACLU policy reads, "The ACLU believes that criminal and civil laws prohibiting or penalizing the practice of plural marriage, polygamy, or polyamory violate constitutional protections of freedom of expression and association, freedom of religion, and privacy for personal relationships among consenting adults." While many accept the ACLU as a mainstream organization, their history tells a drastically different story. Organizations such as the Alliance Defense Fund are dedicated to exposing the myths that the ACLU is working hard for the First Amendment rights of Americans. Instead of being an organization that simply took a wrong turn, the ACLU has devoted itself from the very beginning to the devastation of America's most cherished traditions, values, and laws. And that's the end of that article. We have some more things to say about the ACLU. We'll have to save them for next time. But this is exactly what the ACLU is trying to do. When parents can't take care of their kids and keep their kids from getting abortions, when the ACLU wants to fight so that these kids can just go to the school principal or go to the school nurse and say, take me someplace to get an abortion, and not include the parents, that is so wrong. And this is the thing that we're fighting for today. And there are a lot of books that talk about how sex education happened in the schools. I just wonder, before sex education, how did anyone have any children? They must have found out somehow. I think God instilled that in us. I know God instilled that in us. No one has to be taught about that. Sure, there are some things that married couples can learn, but to learn them in school from people who are godless people, no way. That's why I believe that we ought to take our saved children, our Christian kids, our conservative kids, we ought to take them out of public schools. Public schools are government schools. So we should take them out of there. They shouldn't be taught by strangers. They should not be taught how to hate their parents and how their parents are old fuddy-duddies and how their parents can't be trusted because they're old-fashioned. All right. Well, next time we'll talk about some more about the ACLU and how they're trying to break up the families. So comes the end of today's message. We appreciate so much that you spent time to be with us. If you enjoy our program, would you please take time to send us any questions you might have, along with a love offering of any amount? And if you send at least $25, we will send you a 92-page book, When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? Our address is The Patriot, 1776, at 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Again, The Patriot, 1776. The address is 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Talk to you again next time. Goodbye now.